put the duct tape on your head. If it starts expanding a little bit and getting blown, then just wrap the duct tape tighter there, huh? If it's real bad, you're going to put your finger in your ear. That's when if I start speaking heresy, look over at her, and she's going to put her finger in your ear. The modern day form of Ichabod. We started last week talking about a religious spirit. And so I'm going to review on this thing some. And let me see if I can get this thing. If you can click into the PowerPoint, Mike. And so we're going to just talk until I feel that the Holy Spirit says we're done. I've got points. I'm not talking about today. I'm talking about many weeks on this. When I first moved here 25 years ago and we started the church almost maybe 24 years in February, the Lord showed me quickly after I moved here, there were four territorial strongholds. And I know some of this was a review from last week, but you get different people coming in and out. The teenagers weren't in here last week, so it probably doesn't hurt to hear it again. But there were the Lord told me there were four territorial strongholds over this region: religious spirit, apathy, lust, and poverty. And the religious spirit was the strongest. And we spent some time, almost 20 years ago, speaking on the religious spirit. And then I realized just recently, I've not spoken on it since then. Now, we on a daily basis battle it. On a weekly basis, we battle it. I think we've gotten quite a bit of freedom from it. But I just felt led of the Lord, just go through again after 20 years and talk about the religious spirit. And I think it's not just for this area, it's the whole world. 2 years ago when I was in Nepal and went to a Hindu temple and saw all the craziness there, that's a religious spirit. Well, what is a religious spirit? We'll talk about that in a minute. But I really believe it's the epic battle of the end times. The reason is there are two ways to approach God. Whatever God you believe in. Now, we obviously know which God we believe in. One is love, and the other is performance. Whether it's Hinduism or Christianity, whether it's the Islam, faith, or Christianity, we all are bent towards performance to connect with our God. And as we saw last week, this epic verse that all of us know, you might have even gotten saved by it: "For God so loved the world." Love is His base attribute. Now, a territorial spirit, like religious spirit, is different than just a demon. You can cast out demons, but it says in Ephesians 6, you have to wrestle with territorial spirits. What does that mean? There's probably deliverance involved, but you have to wrestle because a territorial spirit is a stronghold. It calls it a stronghold in Ephesians 6. A stronghold is, it's not just a demonic spirit tormenting you. It's a way of life. It's a way of thinking. It's a way of reacting. It can affect your personality and everything. And so even if you get deliverance, you have to retrain how you think and how you live. Now, we live in the Deep South. You've seen all the surveys, and it's been proven. We used to joke that Chattanooga was the belt buckle of the Bible Belt. It is true. Chattanooga has more churches per people than any city in America, and we're basically in their metropolitan statistical area. And so we have to battle our own religious spirit of performance with God. It may be different than the Hindus, may be different than Islam, but we all have our things. And this is the thing. Christianity was started on love. There are only two ways to relate to God. One is love, which He started, and one is performance. And that performance can change even from church to church, even in this town. And this is, if we only knew, last week I showed 7 minutes of the video from the Passion of Christ where He was at the whipping post. How many of you saw that? It was intense. That's the love that He initiated. It's not even talking about the cross yet, because He wants to walk hand in hand with you. He did not save you to be servants. He's got angels. He did not save you to be robots. He saved you for a relationship. And today, I just want to talk about this other side on this performance, because once we leave love, we move over into performance, whatever your religion may be. He saved you for love, not to do. Does that mean we don't do? We do. But you got married for what? Love. We hear people getting married because they wanted their money, or they were, you know, we get a bride from somewhere else in some other part of the country, guys, because they're supposed to be good workers or whatever. Well, that's not real love. You're buying a servant. But with the love paradigm, Jesus saved us because he wanted a relationship with us first. And basically, I know we pursue purity. We pursue following God. But he will accept you from the beginning, wherever you're at. We used the illustration last week, and I want to use it again. The prodigal son. We've all heard about that. The son took half his inheritance and left. We know that when he came back, he was given sandals, representative of peace, the robe of righteousness and authority, and the righteousness of purity, and the ring of authority. But have you ever thought about it? Jesus, or the Father, was waiting on the boundary and went as far as he could to get there. How many times in my own Christian life have I put myself through something to make myself worthy for God's love? How many times, but with him, he waited there. He was dirty. He was filthy. He had come across from the desert. Who knows if he'd even had a shower since he was eating with the pigs. And he puts a white robe on him. That right there, to me, is the best picture of love versus performance. If it had been me, I'd said, Father, let me clean myself up before you put all this stuff on him. He said, no, that won't do any good anyway. I'm the one that brings this thing. Humility is a mark of understanding the love of God. When we walk in arrogance, we do not understand the love of God. When we walk in arrogance, it is saying, it is me, it is I. But that prodigal son is the thing. And he will do anything to, he's done everything for us to come back. We're going to skip that today. Skip that today. All right, so that's a review from last week of the love of God. If we can experience, so making this practical, when you've sinned, I don't know about you, I'll often wait a little while to go back and pray to God. Does any of y'all do that? Or let me go to church for a week or do something. Listen to some worship, whatever, before I go into God. Do you realize that's performance? Do you realize that's not understanding that the Father's at the boundaries with the ring, robe, and shoes, and he's waiting on you? It's really an insult to him. Because the reason I played that whipping post scene last week, for those that were here or have seen it in the Passion of Christ movie, that's intense. What I'm doing is saying, your whipping post, your cross is not enough. I've got to help you out. It's arrogance. So as soon as, this is what the Lord did with me. As soon as I sinned, he said, you just come in and start praising me like nothing has happened because I've thrown your sins as far as these. Well, I don't like it. I want to do something. It's performance. And it's not understanding the love of God. And as you walk with him, he'll clean this stuff up. That son didn't stay smelling like a pig. And he'll clean you up. And so where does this performance come from? And I'm going to give you some key words. This is the verse in Isaiah 14:14. It's talking about the devil, who is one of the worship leaders, probably the highest worship leader. It's a little vague. In God's heaven, look at what he said. I will. Whenever we start saying I in our relationship with the Lord, I mean, don't get weird on me. There are times we've got to say I. But look at the motivation. Whenever we start saying, I will, it's starting to move over into performance. That I word's a deadly word if the context is not right. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. If you notice, it's about what the devil can and will do. I'm telling you, the closer I walk with the Lord, I've been walking with the Lord for, I don't know, since I was 13, I'm 58, so 45 years. The more I walk with the Lord, the more I realize I don't know that much. And as the more I spend in God's presence, I realize I thought I knew Him, but it was a textbook knowledge. And it produces more humility. And my wife is going, thank you, Jesus. But more humility, more meekness, because it's humbling to know that God is going to give me His best white robe. And I just don't deserve it. And I'm telling you, talking about wanting to do, you will do for a master like that, like you never would do, to get His approval, because you've already got His approval. And you're just grateful. Now, I know it's a little small, but you can look it up on your iPhone too, or in your Bible, if you still. Genesis 3, 8 through 11. So what the devil did, he's got kicked out of heaven. And now he's trying to export his... At one time, the Father loved him, and he loved the Father, and it was a symbiotic relationship as he was the worship leader. Then the I word came in. It didn't matter, you know, his was a personal ambition to be on the throne. So all of a sudden, here's the epic battle of the last days. He's going to export his style of relating to God to the earth. And Adam and Eve now has the choice, who has been having a fellowship with the Father as He walked with them in the cool of the evening. Now the epic battle begins and has been going on at least 6,000 years if you're a young earth creationist, but whatever number, it's been a long time. He's going to see if he can get them now to relate to God as he relates to them. Maybe you've never thought about this verse in this way. Genesis 3, 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Now see, they've sinned. They've eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil by now, that the Lord told them not to do. That was the only commandment. Eat from the tree of life, which is representative of me, or eat from your own knowledge of what is right and wrong. That's a big deal. It says good and evil. Well, we're supposed to do good. No, we're supposed to follow and flow out of the life that comes out of the Holy Spirit. The same life that He breathed into us earlier in Genesis. When Adam was, he had been physically made, but there was no life. And God came, and it says that He breathed His life into Adam, and then he came alive. And He said, do you still want to live by my breath? He wants us to live so close that we can feel His breath on us. That's how close He wants to live. Do you want to keep living by my breath, my life, which is representative of the tree of knowledge? It was a philosophical thing with a physical, you know, outcome with the trees. Or do you want to choose what is good and evil? Sometimes we do choose good, don't we? But if it's not flowing out of His life, eventually it produces death. So this is where they're at. They did it. Their eyes were open. What were their eyes open to? Probably more than I'll ever understand, but this was one part of it. Oh my gosh. What is it like? We now know what it's like to live without His life. We now know what it's like to be in a place where we don't feel His breath anymore, where we don't hear His voice in the garden. And already it started producing something in them that produced shame and produced despair. And they went and hid because they did not know how to do it. Wherever there's shame, and we all experience it, wherever there's despair, wherever there's that sense of nakedness. Yeah, they were physically naked, but it went a whole lot further than that. See, when you're in God's presence and the breath is so strong on you, and blowing on you, it's not just His breath you get. You get His glory. I've spent a long time trying to figure out what glory is in the Bible, and I don't really know. Except you see it all through the Bible. But this I know, wherever God goes, He leaves a trail of something around Him that the Bible calls His glory, is His presence. I think a very feeble explanation is if a guy wears cologne or a woman wears perfume and they come into a room and leave and you walk in later, what's that smell? It smells good. Oh, I recognize that as my wife's perfume or my husband's cologne. They left a little bit of their very feeble explanation. This is the best I can come up with. Feeble, their glory. They talk about the glory cloud coming in. Is that literally the Lord? I don't know. But it's a presence that He's there. These snowflakes, gold flakes and gems and miracles and healings. That's all a part of wherever He goes, life is so exuding out of Him that it just changes the atmosphere around. And that's how heaven was before they decided to do their own thing. And when we decide to that Christianity is reduced to what I can do and what I can perform, it is lifeless. It is powerless. No wonder young people want to leave the church. I wouldn't sign up for that either. But if we can make places of encounters where we meet the Lord and His glory comes off of us, I'm telling you, if we can get that on a regular basis and get that going, there are plenty of people that say, I have done everything according to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I've even chose good, but it's still not life. It's a huge difference. Verse 9, but the Lord God called to the man and said to him, I love this. This is showing God. What did He say to him? He has sinned and disobeyed. What's the first three words He did? This is the essence of the battle, epic battle of the end times. One of you obviously see it up there. Where are you? Man, how many times have we been in, I've been to Hindu temples. I've been to Islam. Well, I couldn't go into the Islam. I've been to several Islam mosques on the outside in other countries. I couldn't go in because I'm an infidel. But you get the point. They all, their God. And many times the way us as Christians portray our God, it would never be a where are you. It's what did you do? See, the problem there, you is very close to I. What did you do? Obviously they did something. Now this is my theory. I don't know if it's valid or not. But it does fit in with the heart of God. What if they had repented on the spot and said, we've messed up? See, they've not been judged yet. Maybe it could have been reversed. I don't know. Maybe not. But the point was, He came in and He said, where are you? Why? Because Christianity is a religion of relationship. God does everything in relationship if He's going to do it with you. Think about this. All the way at the beginning, He's setting a pattern. Where are you? It's good, isn't it? And, verse 10, and He said, I heard the sound. Now He's starting to get the I word in here. The same word that Jesus did. I mean, that Satan did. And Satan, you can go back in Genesis and see the interaction between Adam and Eve and Satan. It was all about them. I'm telling you, Christianity is all about Him. Not them. When you mess up, just go back and just say, thank you, Father, that what you did at the cross is good enough. And I owe you beyond what I can ever repay. But I'm not going to crucify you again or pretend like I can even do anything to make a dent. I just fall on my face and say, thank you. And I'm telling you, relationship will go to even a deeper level. But look at this, verse 10. And He said, Adam, and I, there's the I, heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. It's all about Him. Are y'all getting this? It's sort of a hard concept to get across. You know, because he does walk with us and clean us up and that kind of thing. But everything starts out of a relationship. Verse 11. He said, "Who told you that you were naked, shameful, depressed, discouraged? Have you eaten of the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" Wow. Father, I just pray before we go on teaching that this concept of you versus me and them versus him and I will get into us and free us from performance. Let's just do a 30-second prayer here before we go on. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you will free us from performance to get your approval and love. Because your approval and love was given before the foundation of the world. And then it was resealed 2,000 years ago. Help us right now. Just, Father, give us a concept. I just pray you speak to each person here. Show them you've done everything in terms of connection. Show them how much you love them. There's work in a crowd this size. There's probably people that are workaholics and performaholics like I've had to fight all my life. I just say in Jesus' name, rest. Your greatest creative ideas will come from rest in His presence and walking with Him. And just resting during the day. And Father, we just free off any religious spirits that it just comes against us because we live in this region and because we're humans. Adam and Eve weren't Hindus or Islams or Baptists or Charismatics, but it affected them from the very beginning. And so in Jesus' name, we just pray, get us free, because Christianity is to be fun. I know it's hard, and there's a price, and there's sacrifice, but when we walk with you, it's just a whole different game. Amen. We often throw around this term, I don't know what slide's next, that's why I don't often do PowerPoints. Try it again. So what you often hear in churches is bandied about what is a religious spirit. It's pretty much simply that. An attitude of what do I do instead of what Jesus has done. Anything not based out of relationship or love is always performance. I mean, we've seen it in marriages, haven't we? Whereas there's not a whole lot of love, but my God, that husband better do what he needs to do, or that wife better do what they need to do. Just that phrase. How much of Christianity in Whitfield County is that way? Now I'm going to say something that's controversial, but I'm not trying to be controversial. I'm trying to get a point across. It says in Romans 2:4 that it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. The Holy Spirit draws us. How many in this region, or any Christian region, I'm just doing this region because I live here, has gotten saved with pictures of hell and God's about to strike you dead? It is a very effective tool. You will get saved when you get pictures of hell and God's about to strike you dead. And don't smoke, chew, or go with girls who do. I wonder why they pick on girls. Guys do it more than the girls do. Have y'all heard that phrase before? Is that too old-fashioned? Okay, so you get saved. I think they legitimately get saved. I mean, hell is a great motivator. But what have we just done? We follow God out of fear, so we have to keep preaching messages to live right out of fear. All right, for those of you that are logic majors, did I do all right? Did I leave anybody behind? So that's why many of the messages are fear-based messages. You know, and while the altars, the same people get saved every week. Okay, now I'm not trying to be self-righteous. I repent of sins many times during the week, but you get my point. If they get saved knowing God's after them, then you're going to have to continue living and preaching that God's after you, and that's why you do right. Listen, He is not after you in that respect. If He was after you, He would get you. There's a bad logic there. You don't even have to go to college and major in philosophy to understand that. If He was out to get you, you'd be done now. You'd be a crispy critter. Well, why isn't He after? He isn't. What'd somebody say over here? I bet Tori said it, right?
No, it's what you said.
Oh, what I said? All right. I don't know what I said. We'll edit that part out. And so, I'm telling you, this is a no-brainer. So why hasn't He turned you, oh, I see what you said, into a crispy critter? It's because He wants to breathe His life on you again. He wants His breath to be on your lips. He wants to move you in such a way that He envisioned before He made man. And if He turns you into a crispy critter, you're just not going to feel it. This verse describes a religious spirit. Y'all are familiar with it, I'm sure. 2 Timothy 3:5. It's talking about a group of people in the church. This is not unbelievers who hold to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. What does that mean? The form, they look good on the outside, but there's no life. They are self-disciplined enough to not smoke, chew, or go with guys who do. Themselves. See, you can look good on the outside and not have the life of God. He may even bless people with things because they come from the outside that He will not inhabit. Now, that's heavy, isn't it? He will bless things that He will not inhabit. And I am into inhabiting. He is bringing us to a place where we not just feel Him and Him. I got to get that North Georgia accent coming. Just feel Him. He's wanting to truly redefine what does it mean to live and move and have my being in Him. What does it mean in Ephesians that we're seated at the right hand of God the Father? If we can get beyond the performance, which we are, to first pursuing the person instead of performance, you will go wherever the person goes. How many of you this weekend, especially if you're young, a friend calls up, hey, let's go over here. You get in the car and the parents are praying that they drive correctly and not like a wild man or protection or whatever. And you go with them. When you start walking with a person, you get to go wherever He goes and takes you. Now, you just let your mind roam on that because it's possible. Now, that's exciting. How many of you go back on Monday and somebody goes, well, you know, we had this great party. Oh, how many of you went to the fish fry Friday? That was cool. Thank you for the Castlemans for hosting at your house and letting your house get trashed and everything else. There's a price there, but it's good. I've lost my point now. I do that a lot, don't I? Y'all going to have to lay hands on me. I did that last week. I couldn't even remember what it was. But when somebody goes, well, how was your Friday? How was your weekend? Oh, we had a great fish fry. And then some spiritual nerd over here that's been walking with the Lord, he says, you know, I just prayed and went into His presence and me and Him did like Philip in the book of Acts, who came up from baptizing somebody, and the next thing he knew, he was in Ethiopia preaching to the queen. And the fish fry was cool, but on Saturday, I was with the Lord, and next thing I knew, I was praying over a sick girl in Saudi Arabia for healing. Because they won't allow Christians there, so the Lord said, I'll just translate some in. They're going to look at you and go, you're weird, but go, yeah, it's biblical and it happened. Did it happen to you? No. You're out of your mind. No, this is the normal mind when you walk with life. Boy, that's good. I can feel the wheels turning. Because Jesus wanted that little girl prayed for. And we can pray for him here, and many times he does. How many of you have gotten those? Pray for somebody, you don't even know who it is. This is what happens a lot of times when you speak in tongues. You know you're praying and interceding. But sometimes, I'm just making this up, okay? But there are many examples like this. This is not off the charts. This is happening, listen to me. This is happening all around the world except in this stupid Western religion where rationalism, which is the mind, forces us to have to understand before we can do. And God says, it is important that you have faith without understanding. And I don't understand how. I mean, I'm telling you, I've read stories this past week of people who have been translated all over the world and blessing these people. They don't know what's happening. They think it's just an angel or something coming in or somebody came in through the door. Because God's life is wanting to come out all over this world. But we're stuck up in and worrying about something that's stupid. That's frivolous. Because we have to understand first. I'm telling you, am I too harsh here? He is trying to birth us as Westerners. I'm telling you, I've been to, I don't know how many countries, 23, 24 countries, 30 mission trips. The world is abandoning the theology of the West. I've been on 5 continents. They're abandoning the theology of the West because of this. They like our big buildings. They like our money. They'll take it all day long. But they're going, you give us the money, you help us, but we're staying over here because this is where the power is. There is no power without a person. Now, that can go both ways. This, because of the vacuum of power Christianity in America, the occult is on the rise. All kinds of meditations on the rise because there is power there because they are connecting to a person. And that person is Satan. But I'm telling you, it's a counterfeit. Everything you have heard in the demonic realm is a counterfeit of what God's wanting to open up. But He's not going to open it up until we walk with the person. And then the person invites us to these things if He wants to because He's on assignment. And He says, hey, you want to come with me? Now that's a vision, isn't it? But I'm telling you, we have got to get past caring. Oh, God, help me. This you got to be past. I don't know where all this goes. But so many of the, you know, you can have everything right. I mean, we're just a little church, okay? Little building. You can have, you know, massive buildings and everything right and all of everything that's supposed to be done and we emphasize this and our social media is that. But you know, if all that's good, we got a Facebook account, we send out emails. But if we're not careful, we can have the best form in the city. 10,000 people show up, but there's no power. I will take 5 people that know a person that walk in the power because I'm just not into that anymore. Now, the goal is this. There's over 100,000 people in this county. I want 100,000 people in nice buildings, whatever, posting. This is what I want them posting on their social media. I went to Saudi Arabia and prayed for a little girl this week. Oh, really? The Lord took me over to China and this happened. Or He took me into the third heaven and we just stood on this sea of glass. And by the way, they go, it's not glass, I found out. But I don't really know, but it didn't break. Can you imagine 100,000 people walking with a person and all the experiences that he's doing? Or I witnessed to this person and this person got saved and immediately you could just tell the breath of life went on them. And I told them about the goodness of God. And they said, instead of a fear, and there is a hell, we believe in a hell, but instead of the goodness, they see the goodness of God on your life. And they've gone to the extent in their own life where they're down, depressed, discouraged, whatever the worst is. Maybe they have lots of money, that's not the issue, but their kids are in rebellion. And they say, I see something good on you. How did you get there? I said, I don't know. I have no idea. But I can teach you how to walk with a person that always walks in good. And when you walk with a person that's always walking in good, he'll just always take you to good places. Wow, that's a good song to do a little praise and worship on, isn't it? I know that's intense, but I'm telling you, as a heart for this region, you know, the greatest impediment to what the life I'm talking about is the church in Whitfield County. And I put myself in there because of the picture we paint. Would you want to follow a God that brings natural disasters, that kills little kids, takes people before their time? That's harsh, I know. I'm trying to break this thing, man. Those things happen. And we could debate the theology all day long, but ultimately it's because Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and he says, it's your choice, this is your world, I'll give you dominion over it, and if you choose to do these things, then death will come. There was no death when they were eaten from the tree of life. There is no death in heaven. I heard this story, it's a cool story, I can't even remember. I can't even remember who told me the story. If I thought about it, I would. It was on YouTube. It was a YouTube Sid Roth type of deal, and there's so many people going to heaven anymore, which is a good thing because they're starting to walk with a person. And this one guy told a story that was just so cool. I've heard a bunch of stories, but this one is so cool. Talking about the extent of life, he said when he was walking through heaven for the first time, he had never seen how powerful it could be with no death. I mean, we can't imagine. He said, there's no dust. Dust is a degenerating of death. He says, there's no dust. He went on to describe the plants. Israel shaking his head. I told him this story. He said he went up to a tree. Now, this is a tree that's always been in the glory of God. And he's teaching us how to live in the glory of God. Whether you're a programmer, whether you're a bus driver, whatever. He said this plant had always been in the glory of God and had no idea of dust. Dust is a result of us choosing. Death is a result of us choosing. He said he went up to this tree and realized it was full of all different kinds of fruit. But this tree knew its identity, knew its destiny, knew its purpose, knew it was created to serve. Like a lot in our society doesn't know because we're made from monkeys and all kinds of weird stuff and identity stuff. It's all confused. But they knew. He said when he walked up, put his hand underneath the fruit to grab it, the tree released the fruit into his hand. Because that was his purpose. That's not doing, but serving out of what we're created as. And I guarantee you, as you walk with the Lord and get to know Him, and He'll deal with the performance, you'll find out more than ever what you were created in, and you'll just want to serve and do it because you're flowing with Him, and that's where the maximum life comes out of. And he said he ate this fruit, and he's like, what do I do with it? There's no trash in heaven. There's no trash cans because there's no death. There's no wasted products. And somehow he knew just to throw it on the ground. He said as soon as he threw it, it disappeared out of his hands. He said when he walked on the grass, as he started walking on the grass, because they're so full of life, grass's purpose, whatever grass's purpose is, it has been defiled in my place. I spend too much time mowing my 4 acres of grass. I'm cursing the grass. Die, grass. Don't ever grow. Maybe if I get so full of glory, my grass will always be green and only this tall. I'm going to start laying hands on that grass. Your purpose is 4 inches and no more. You know, I'm being tempted here. I'm being a little provoked. If you come by my house and I'm down on my knees, I'm speaking to that grass. But he said when they walked on the grass, he started to walk on the grass, the blade. I don't know how this has happened. And maybe you don't believe this story, but I have a hard time believing it. But it's a great illustration of life. He said the blades of grass went to look at him. And when he walked on them, he pressed down. They popped back up and looked at him as he was going back down the grass. They were glad to be walked on. That was their purpose. I don't know what you do with a story. It is time to praise God. I've been way off of this thing. But you get the purpose. See, what I'm trying to do is expand beyond showing up and getting a gold star for attendance to an expansion of walking with a person that I get to go wherever he goes. I've read stories of people that when they were just in the presence of the Lord, the Lord says, I want to show you something. He grabbed them. And it's like Paul. I mean, this is all through the scriptures. Paul goes, I don't know if I was in the spirit or in the flesh. Next thing, they're in a place in the galaxy. They have no idea. And say, the Lord says, isn't this beautiful? He's showing them around the galaxy. I want y'all to provoke me with your stuff. Now, we don't seek the galaxy, but we seek a person. And each person is going to be... I've never heard two stories the same. Is that wild? And all the different things. I've never heard two people give the same story. I'm sure it happens. Why? Because there's so much variety, it's unbelievable. Let's stand. And the musicians get ready. And we're just going to praise God, and we're going to go to the stars. Amen? Metaphorically. Well, maybe not. Maybe some of you will. If you do, just tell me. And it's going to make me mad. And go, I'm the senior leader here. I should go first. And we know that's not the way it works. Well, Father, in Jesus' name. And after the music, we'll be over here in the drum cage. We won't be in the drum cage. We'll be before the drum cage. I'm into intimacy, but not that much. I don't want Mike and me and Jason in that drum cage together, okay? But we'll be over here in front of the drum cage. If you have anything to pray about or there's something you want to share with us, you know, we're open to that or something the Lord shared you. But I'm telling you, Christianity's fun. Have you ever heard a sermon about the possibilities of Christianity like we did today? Cool. This needs to be the norm. And then the people that aren't saved, they're going to go, my gosh, my life is boring. Now, I got a long ways to go. I talk like I know it all. Most of this is, I know this is where we're going. But it's cool. And if you think I'm weird, yeah, I am weird. But there is coming a time where the weirdness is going to be the normal. And the normal that people call normal are going to go, you still doing that? There's a better way. It's the goodness of God. It's the presence of God. It's the person. Amen. So I don't know how you translate to this, but you get paid.
I got it.
Well, you actually don't get paid.
I get it.
But pretend like you could get paid. You can imagine.
All right. Jason's got a powerful song for us. Maybe.